Well, we're at Psalm 125. And there's several titles that could be given to this, and you just pick out the one you like. We could put enlightenment. We could put inner conflict and victory. We could put our protector. That last chorus we sang, I thought, went with it real well. The key word is trust. We find it in the very first verse. The key word of the psalm or the song is trust. I'll just read it. It's only five verses. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that do good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. For as such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. These are precious songs, aren't they? Just precious. Well, there's 15 in all songs of degrees, and we have already covered the first five. And in those first five songs of degrees, we saw the soul move away from the world and gradually progressing spiritually. And then, as we had in Psalm 124, then looking back and praising the Lord for the work of his purification from sin and death of this world. And now we come to Psalm 125, and in it, and the next five, which would be 125 through 129, it is a stage of enlightenment. And I think, as far as we've gone, have you seen your experiences in these psalms? I certainly have. And we're going to see yet more. And in this stage of enlightenment, we have experiences that come our way. And in each and every one is repeated the emphasis of a deepening and a broadening, not merely from purification from this world that we saw in the first five, but a purification from within. You know, the thoughts and the activities of the natural self life. And this is a going on illumination in experiences that often occur in succeeding stages and touching areas which have never been touched before. Yes, we see why the Lord brings some of these experiences. Yes, praise the Lord. The seeking soul sees and understands a great deal through these experiences. The seeking soul. Light is given in each and every case, and the eyes of the heart are opened and begins to have discernment of spiritual principles which are real and which are eternal. Thank the Lord for the working of God by his precious Holy Spirit in our lives continually as we seek the Lord. It's a time of revelation. It's a time of insight. It's a time of emancipation. And it's a time of joy. The dealings of the Lord become more central unto us. And in other words, we could put it this way. The cross touches more closely the activities of our daily life. It is a time of clash, combat, a struggle inwardly. And we detect a battle that is raging within, and the Lord enlightens us that God is on our side, and our life, praise the Lord, that, and we know that old life is still there. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I think there's probably a lot of believers who have read this verse, but it is the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives to us and speaks to our heart, that it will mean something in our everyday life. You know, this intense warfare, it can plunge us into a deep valley of disappointment, despair, frustration. But, you know, we also experience times of joy. And it's mingled, though. Times of joy mingled with times of a sorrow of bondage. And sometimes we sing, and sometimes we sigh. But in these experiences, we are learning the lesson of faith. So important. And you don't learn it in one experience. I don't know how long the Lord's been dealing with me. You know, I'm an old lady now. And he is still teaching me the lesson of faith in areas never before. Praise the Lord. Formerly, you know, we live by feelings. That's just natural, isn't it? We live by feelings. And we need something tangible to help us along. Well, the Lord is delivering us from that world of feelings and senses and leading us into the realm of faith, deeper and broader as we go along in these experiences. Praise the Lord. Four times it is recorded in God's word, the just shall live by faith. The emphasis, be four times, that's the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We learn to abide in Christ, for he abides within us. And as I said, these are not learned in one experience. His resurrection life is within us. It's within you, and it is within I. And as we trust the Lord in these experiences, peace rises in us and rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's mighty deliverances causes us to renew our dedication to him. Romans 12:1, it says, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Praise the Lord. Our consecration needs to be deepened. It needs to be broadened. And the Lord knows how to work that in us. Praise the Lord. Just as we have this in the Old Testament. You read of the burnt offering in the Old Testament. It needed to be presented every day, both morning and evening, and also at the time of the new moon and at the special feasts that we read of in the Old Testament. So our consecration needs to be increased all the time. Amen. A new confiding in the Lord and an abandonment of self. For we have found the Lord truly trustworthy. Have we not? As far as we've gone, has he ever failed you? No, never. A whole new world opens up to us as we entrust ourselves to the Lord. And naturally speaking, we have more confidence in ourselves than we do in the Lord. Now, that sounds pretty strange, doesn't it? But it's true. Just think on that. Uh-huh. When we should be trusting the Lord, and we're trusting in ourselves. Well, there is spiritual progress, though, and I want to emphasize that. As we commit ourselves unto the Lord anew, and as we go along, there is spiritual progress. Praise the Lord. It's when we are willing to leave matters in the hands of the Lord. I don't think we ever stop learning that. I haven't. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul declares, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord, we read here in our song, is as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. It abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his word. You know, Mount Zion represents eternal stability, and Jerusalem represents security, which is also eternal. Eternal security. Nations change, governments change. I think we're realizing that. It's all over the world. Nations change, governments change, people and customs and habits change, but the mountains are always there. Isn't the poetic language wonderful? And the picture that it gives unto us. Those who trust in the Lord are like the Mount of God, unmovable, steadfast, and stable. And if we're not stable, up and down spiritually, then it's because we are not continually trusting our Lord. How is stability achieved? Well, it must come from the Lord and by faith. By faith. He alone will make us stable. We can try, but we won't be successful. It's only the Lord that makes us stable. You know, Jerusalem is built upon five hills, and Mount Zion is one of them. And it was the place of David and also of Solomon's palace. So it's a place of royalty, symbolizing the authority of God. And we cannot trust ourselves. When we entrust ourselves to the Lord, we shall be infused with divine stability, a strength that comes from accepting him as our King, our Master, under his authority. We notice the word here in our psalm, the very first word. It's they. They. Plural. They that trust in the Lord. Well, that representing the cream of Jerusalem, the overcomers in the church, the pillars in the church. Jerusalem is not only built up on mountains, but the mountains surround her. The city, you might say, is hidden among them. So the Lord is round about his people, even forevermore. That's how that verse ends. Praise them, Lord. Verse 1 and verse 2, forevermore. The mountains are a figure of the eternal security of the church provided by God himself. Colossians 3:3. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. An everlasting security. We become immovable when we put our lives in his hands, and then there is not that much difficulty from the world that we saw in the earlier songs, but we encounter difficulty from within. The city, a city, any city, has two kinds of people in it. One kind of people is wicked, and the other is righteous. Well, is that not a picture of the two natures in us, in the believer? Yes. Within us, well, there's those two natures. And we learn of this when we study the New Testament. And, you know, here we read the wicked seem to have power. Notice for the rod or the scepter of the wicked. We read there, shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity. When the conflict rages, the flesh is not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. We read that in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8. Is not subject unto God. The flesh is not subject unto God, and neither can be. Okay? So, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God's viewpoint of the flesh is what? It is no good. All flesh is grass. Praise the Lord. That fleshly nature is powerful, but you know why? It has ruled us for so long. See how why it's so powerful? It has ruled us for so long. And we discover the power of the flesh when we desire to love and trust the Lord. Yeah. We find we cannot fight against the flesh ourselves, in ourselves. And Romans 7, I'm not going to read from there, but it details this very fully. That's Romans 7. The flesh is for self, and it is for self-gratification. We strive to do good, and yet we end up in sin. We learn who it is that that has delivered us at the cross. He hath already delivered us at the cross. Jesus Christ our Lord. And the scepter of the wicked may come upon us, but it cannot rest upon us. The Lord may allow the conflict to rage for a while so that we will learn the wickedness of the flesh and to no longer depend upon the flesh. And as we put our trust in the Lord, he gives us faith to believe in the all-sufficiency of the cross. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can then live in the power of Christ's resurrection. That resurrection life is within. Our spirit will gain ascendancy over the flesh. For the law of the spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. The flesh may struggle for a time, but it will meet its demise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not permit us to suffer permanently, nor beyond what we can endure. Thank the Lord. His steadfastness and security is because he is steadfast and he is security. 1 Corinthians 1:30, he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Praise the Lord. Let us not lose heart, for he will never fail us. Deliverance will come. The psalmist concludes his song here with a prayer, verse 4 and verse 5. And we also utter a prayer after our experiences of the inner conflicts. And we pray, O Lord, strengthen our inner man by the power of your might. That's the Holy Spirit. Yes. That the outward man be broken and peace restored and reigning in our hearts. This psalm encourages us to stay strong in the Lord. I got the message, did you? Stay strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Take these victories. Sometimes we read them, we think, oh, we know all that, you know. No, no, no. We have to learn it in experience and learn to just simply trust him wholeheartedly, that we can live in his resurrection life daily, not serving the flesh, not for self-gratification, but we're under him, our Lord, our Lord. Praise the Lord. We can experience peace. Even when the battle is raging, we can experience this peace. Praise the Lord. It's all because of faith, isn't it? Laying a hold of these things that are real. They're real, but we need to lay a hold by faith. That's all I have tonight. Good. 28, all right. The hymnal.